bring us a figgy pudding. Some bring us some figgy pudding.
Nobody wants fig pudding.
Yeah,
so they want Baby Yoda.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas
and a Board Game New Year. We're definitely going to practice that for next year.
Last year was a cappella. This year we had Sarah on the piano in the background.
Tickling the ivories over there.
I hope that came through on the sound.
Sorry, Kevin's phone turned off in the middle of that.
Oh, so. You had to play it from my ear?
Yeah, I'm
way
not good
to go.
At that.
Good job,
well,
Sarah.
Hope you guys all had a very wonderful Christmas with your friends and family. I know that we did as well, and we are very excited to be only a couple days away from the brand new year, 2020. Woo!
Whoa, it feels like such a big number.
It does.
I didn't think I'd make it.
I remember as a kid thinking, like, I wonder if I'll be alive in 2020. I'm only like 38, so
I'm doing good. I'm one of those people that, like, 1980 was 20 years ago.
Yes.
Ooh. Or 30 years or 40 years.
Our kids definitely think that.
40. Yeah, 2000 was 20 years ago.
Oh.
Anything born in the 19s is super old.
It is.
Just so you guys know.
Yeah, man. It is now.
We had a really fantastic Christmas this year. We have been enjoying all the board gaming and all the conventions that we went to this year and all the people that we've had the opportunity to meet. For this episode, we thought we'd take it a little bit easier just because we have been slammed with everything that's going on. But one of the things that I think we've all managed to enjoy recently is The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do some spoiler talk tonight and just have some fun recounting some enjoyable episodes that we've had? I think by this point in real life, we will have also seen... Ooh, very nice. We will have also seen the new Star Wars movie and we'll finally understand what The Last of the Skywalkers is all about.
We'll have
to spoil that on a future episode.
I was thinking they were just closing it up because they were having a hard time getting people to come to the movies now.
What?
Yeah, I think this is it. This is definitely it.
The wrap up of the story. Do we think it will break all the Avatar and Endgame?
No.
No?
We're
not counting on that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, let's intro that song one more time. All right, so let's jump into the Mandalorian
spoiler
story time. So this is all we're doing, right? So if you don't want to hear Mandalorian, then bye.
Okay, this is also...
Enjoy your happy new year.
Come back next week when we're going to talk about board
games. This is also just spoilers for up through episode 6.
Yeah, 5 and 6.
Right?
5 and 6. So we've already chatted 1 through 4. Ryan's actually not here to spoil with us, and he usually has the most insight.
We
so
should have written down. Maybe I should just get him to text me real fast. What was your order? Because Ryan had a very specific order of how much he liked each
episode. I remember his order.
Ranked.
You do?
You memorize them.
Good for you.
Could you type it into the computer and let the computer talk like Ryan did?
I should.
He had a really, he had a lot of stuff to say about it. I'm sorry he couldn't be here for this one.
So episode 5 was The Gunslinger. Was that the title of that episode? Mm-hmm. What did you guys think? What was the overall impression?
This brought you back to some of the world that we're already familiar with from Star Wars because it was sort of based on Tatooine.
Right? Got to see those moons, got to see the deserts, got to see the cantina.
Mm-hmm.
All of our favorite characters there.
I was a little surprised that he took on the job in the first place. Like, he walked in, know nothing about this kid, and then... I mean, I guess he's
kind
of just...
Well, he tried to walk
take...
away like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, but he knew it was going to end poorly. You had to know that.
Yeah, I gotta ask the question, like, what is his motivation anyway? Is this dude, like, just living from paycheck to paycheck and it costs him so much to buy fuel that he's got to take on every single job he gets? Or is he, like...
It's kind of what it sounds like.
Some secret debt that he needs to pay off? I don't understand the... motivation necessarily.
Got to feed Baby Yoda, man.
He used most of his payout for everything else just to make his armor.
That's true.
So it's kind of like, it sounds like he hasn't had a paycheck in a while.
Or that he's just really bad at economics.
Give me that armor upgrade.
I think some of it, too, is just the fact that he's now on the run. So he does not have a source for income all over the place. He can't go back to the guild, obviously.
That's a
good
point.
Can't do some of these things. So wherever he is, he just has to get a job and not get killed in the process.
Makes sense. I thought it was interesting that they did introduce this young character guy. I don't want to sound too negative. Feel free, you guys, to all sound positive, because I'm just going to say negative things about the show.
I didn't like him.
Yeah. Well, I keep waiting for the Mandalorian to take on a sidekick or to add somebody else to his crew, and I kept thinking, like, oh, okay, this is where he's going to bring on the young green, I don't know what they're not called,
like
Padawans, but whatever Mandalorian sidekicks are called, and teach him the ways of the Mandalorian. No, it was just another, this character's probably going to die at the end.
Could you have a Baby Yoda Mandalorian?
Ooh, there's the twist I'm looking for.
What are they called? A foundling? Is that, I think,
foundling, yeah.
Right? I'd be all on board for that.
Oh, maybe that's why he cares so much for Baby Yoda, is because he was a foundling and so is Baby Yoda.
Oh, and there's some insights I've been waiting for. I feel like Yoda would have a hard time with the Mandalorian helmet.
Probably.
Are they allowed to cut holes in those things? Or maybe, I guess, they could just weld on the sides.
You would know it's a Yoda species.
It doesn't really matter which species you are, right? It's all about the code. This is the way.
This is the way.
Yeah, I think that is. I think it is correct, is that you can be, anybody can be a Mandalorian if they choose that way of life.
And you can fit into the helmet.
And you have to use the helmet.
That might be the one requirement. The Nazarite vow in the helmet is what you got to do.
Yeah.
What did you guys think, Kevin and Melissa? Overall thoughts?
It had some interesting moments. It definitely wasn't my favorite episode that we've had so far.
Where did it stand in Kevin's and Ryan's rankings, Kevin?
Number 5 is his third favorite.
Third favorite. Wow, interesting. Do you think it was the Tatooine nostalgia?
Yeah, I liked it better than episode 6.
I was looking at what I thought his was. His is the fifth favorite.
Oh, okay. So not so much nostalgia.
Five out of six. My bad. Thanks. Sorry, Ryan.
Least favorite episode?
4. 4 was his least favorite.
I think that was a lot of people's least favorite.
And 4 is the one where they're on the planet with
the AT-ST.
I feel like that was Baby Yoda's cutest moment, though. Most memed moment with the little bowl of soup or whatever.
Yes, but...
the whole rest of the episode.
But there are so many things in there that it's just like, there were a lot of questions that didn't get answered and too many things. Like, something that really bothered me is that they made the AT-ST seem like it was alive somehow. Like, where were the people who were operating that thing? Like, it came up out of nowhere as soon as, like... It was like it had been startled in the bushes and, like, stood up.
Like from Lost? Like it just came out, like the trees started moving and...
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. I was like, this is operated machinery by somebody. Were those people sitting in there just waiting for, I don't know, a surprise attack on the camp?
I think they just didn't want us to feel guilty because so far the Mandalorian has not really killed anybody except for the guy in the very first episode. And then they were like, if we just pretend like there aren't people inside this AT-ST, then it's okay to blow it up.
Well, they even like shot the cockpit.
Oh, he's
and
killed
it didn't
lots of people.
Do anything.
Who? Name 2 people.
There was the shootout in the very first episode with all the people, the guards.
Those people were faceless non-souls.
I'm
sure. And then he got ambushed
people,
as he was returning.
Yeah, died when he saved Baby Yoda.
When he saved Baby Yoda, he also killed a lot of Jawas.
Stormtroopers also don't have souls.
Yes,
Jawas killed Jawas. Die.
Every episode he's killed somebody, Will.
So then why in episode 6 is it a big deal that he didn't kill the people? What? Spoiler.
What? Oh, I think it was a turning the corner. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I think that's a good point, but also I think it's more about, is it really a punishment if you just end them, or is it a punishment to put them on potentially a ship forever?
Oh, so it's even meaner than killing them.
Right.
I also want to know how you could not die when you get hit by 2 doors like that.
That guy.
That was pretty fantastic. So.
Episode 6, I think we're talking about now. Yeah. I was pretty sure that guy was dead. especially since earlier in the season that I felt like we'd already seen something like that.
Established that doors can kill you.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, that guy's gone.
It was a different type of door.
Apparently that's the difference.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I know. As soon as the show starts, like, oh, this is a heist episode. It's like I knew like right away what the plot was going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I think this was one of my least favorite ones. I didn't enjoy the acting as much. Mm-hmm. I felt like the acting was subpar compared to...
I agree with you, Sarah.
...to some of the other episodes. Or the acting paired with the script.
Now, I'm probably going to be the lone voice in the room about this, but I actually like 6 a lot better than 5. I found 5 to be pretty boring in general. But 6...
Ryan agrees with you.
I also like 6 better than 5.
6?
Yeah, I would say 5 is probably my least favorite.
The acting, yeah, I didn't pick up on a ton, but I just liked the general... I felt like the action was picking up. I felt like there was more suspense, and mm-hmm. you were seeing more of this character arc of who he's becoming, going from this point of, oh, you enjoyed massacring a bunch of people. There's a reference to that, and mm-hmm. now all of a sudden he's not actually killing them, and maybe that's part of why he didn't kill them. I don't know. So I just enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah.
I did like the action scene where the Mandalorian like destroys a bunch of droids in the hallway. I thought that was pretty slick. I'm very curious to see how his uniform changes in season 2, because the only part that was not believable about the whole scene was that it looked incredibly uncomfortable every move he did because he has so much armor on. I was like, he needs to sleek that thing down just a little bit and get some leotards actions or something.
Oh my goodness, a leotard?
He's got a cape already. He's got a cape.
He's got the cape.
I'll say, well, I think that's part... having played the Star Wars D20, having Mandalorian armor makes you really immobile, and it makes it really hard for you to be very dexterous. It really like changes a lot of your stats that are available to you. So you are like a tank, but you can't move and jump and do all this neat stuff, which is why you need the grappling hook and why you need the jetpack.
It's got all the toys, man.
Yeah, so
the Batman of Star Wars.
You have to add on extra mobility to the suit to make it usable in a game. So probably in real life too.
Yeah, I thought I'm just going to continue to be nitpicky. At the very beginning of the show, when their ships latch together, they open the hatch, and then they all like climb into the ship. It cracked me up because of like a normal awesome movie, they would have like just jumped down feet first and landed in an awesome pose, and all 4 of the people that entered the ship did it in like some awkward fashion. Did anybody else notice
that? I didn't notice that.
Like, if you watched the illustrations at the end, like during the credits, they show like, you know, the rendering of whatever the concept sketch was, mm-hmm. and it shows the pistol guy, whatever his name was, like the rendering of him looks awesome. He's like totally vertically upside down, both guns flailed out, like getting ready to shoot. In the real thing, the guy like has to hold on to the bar, like kind of shimmies in a little bit, like slides through.
You mean like you'd have to do in
like
real life?
Like a real human would do. Yes, yes, exactly. It was too real life for me.
Something that I've noticed over the series so far, and it's really bothered me, is why on this guy's ship has his weapons locker just have a button to open? Like, why
every
does he not lock
episode,
that?
Every yeah. single episode.
Yeah, somebody is opening that weapons locker every time.
Yeah, they don't have any like thumb scan action or retina scan or yeah, just the push button.
Should have used some of that money you got from the best car to get some type of locking mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really?
That was something. Hilarious. The only thing worse than that, of course, is the like little bathroom stall that he locks Yoda in every night.
it's next to the bathroom stall.
Oh, next
it's not
to
the same
stall.
One, but it does appear to be some sort of locker.
Right. I'll locker sleep you in there for closet. Days, for an entire day at a time. You'll be fine.
Yeah, he's kind of like, oh, I'm going to go do a job and
mission.
Leave the little baby all by itself.
Yeah.
Not the best parenting skills.
50 years like old, he's fine.
Totally relatable, though, to these like adventures in parenting, because we have Farron, and as new parents we're like we're not like locking her in a closet or anything, but it's you know, it's like suddenly we're like, oh, we can't just take you around, we do have to have somebody watch you now, like, oh my goodness. Or there's just a lot of things that I can relate to, because it's suddenly like, oh, yes, we have to feed you. And, oh, we do have to take care of you for in every situation. And he's not catching on nearly as fast as a normal parent would.
So he needs to hire a nanny.
Right. He does. We've
talked
about
the opportunity. He failed.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I thought one of the funniest moments with Baby Yoda was near the end of episode 6 when he's about to use the Force on the guy. And he looks at his hand.
Like, yep. What?
Like, what's happened?
What just
I didn't
happened?
Use it yet. I thought that was hilarious.
It was good. I wonder what he was going to do.
I was thinking he was trying to use the Force, but then couldn't because it was a droid.
Ooh, it could be.
And then he's like,
yeah, they don't work
whoa,
on droids.
Did I just do that?
I thought I was.
I don't know.
I mean, he would be able to, like,
you
lift it.
You can do Force on droids, like force push. And stuff
a
like that.
A push, yeah. I was force thinking, like a mind control type thing.
I actually thought the same thing. Like, is he going to realize?
He hasn't proven any mind control skills, though.
Yet. He's got them all, I'm sure.
He hasn't proven that he has them.
So
he probably does. He's at least got cuteness on his side. That's sort of a mind
persuasion.
That is its own mind control.
Has anyone here seen the IT Crowd?
I've watched a couple episodes.
Okay,
goodness, so
if Brian, you know,
was here, he'd know.
You know Moss? Moss, the super nerdy guy.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He plays Zero the Droid. And as I watched that, I was like, his mannerisms, like, I just feel like I've seen that before. And then at the end, I was like, no way, that's him. And you can totally see it. And I was like, yeah, that is Moss from the IT Crowd.
Ryan
that's
did that,
pretty
too.
Hilarious.
He's like, that's Moss from IT Crowd. And I'm like, which one is that? And he's like, it's the dorky one from the IT Crowd. I was like, isn't that everyone from my family? I'm not sure how you're distinguishing here.
Not narrowing it down any for us.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't had a Ryan dream sequence on the podcast in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need him to save up because I feel like at some point Yoda is going to enter into his dreams.
He probably already has. He's just not here to talk about it.
Right. Call in now if you're listening. Oh, you can't listen. I'm waiting for that. And I also need Ryan to have a dream. I need him to have a dream with Baby Farron in it, where she's like floating in
one of those little
baby
pods,
or just like using the Force or mind control, you know, one of those two.
Yeah,
any and all of the above.
Yeah, for our podcast listeners, Farron has been compared to Baby Yoda several times.
Definitely,
she has little elf stick out ears.
She's got the cheeks, the
which
cute
makes
big
her
eyes
look a little bit like Baby Yoda.
Does anybody would like to guess Ryan's order of what he think or what he believes is the best order of the Mandalorian episodes?
I know the top one.
His favorite to least favorite.
Favorite to least favorite. Go, Dan.
I think I can guess. I want to say 3, 1, 6, 2, 5, 4.
Okay.
Whoa, that's pretty good. I don't
sounded
think I'm
as
argue.
Good as any guess I could.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I think episode 1 was his second favorite. That's all I would guess.
Dan is exactly correct.
Yes.
Wow.
It is 3, 1, 6, 2, 5, 4.
Yeah.
And that's now the new pin for...
If you want to know Ryan's pin for his card.
Or it could just work for the gun closet.
That's right. Yeah. There we go. The gun closet, 3, 1, 6, 2, 5, 4. Yeah, 3 is when he basically goes and saves the baby.
Yeah.
1 is sort of the introduction to everything, which I think was cool.
Mm-hmm.
6, I'd probably put 6 lower on my list, personally. But.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question. Mm-hmm. So everybody who knows The Mandalorian calls him Mando, as if that's his nickname.
That's not his name.
I think Ryan said it's a little bit of a racial slur in that it can be used to just identify somebody, but it's also a little bit of a slur to say it that way.
Was that his buddy of longtime acquaintance on episode 6 slurring him, or was it just like... Because I felt like he was just like that's how he referred to him.
Yeah.
But then I was like, wouldn't you refer to all Mandalorians in the same way?
Yeah, they would.
But the whole thing is they think that the Mandalorians are basically extinct. So we've seen a lot of them, but other people haven't.
Yeah,
so
they make it sound
it's probably the only Mandalorian that many people have ever met.
Especially since he's one of the bounty hunters. And so he comes up a little more often than, I don't know.
Than
the lady who makes Mandalorian armor, I'm sure.
Her full-time gig is to just make armor for the 6 other people in her race that...
Yeah.
Wait, there's way more
once
than 6.
A year.
We saw that at the end of episode 3.
Yeah, there's at least 8. You're right, I'm sorry.
I think there were way more than anybody was expecting, and that was part of the surprise at the end of episode 3, which is another reason Ryan super loved that. He was like, that all of his buddies, like, they all came to his aid, even though they didn't really like him.
But, yeah, so that's my question is, everyone says, oh, the guild doesn't like you anymore, but they liked him.
Right.
Well, the guild is different than his tribe. The guild is bounty hunters.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Mandalorian to be in the guild.
I gotcha. Yeah. Oh, man, that makes much more sense now.
Oh.
Thank you.
Kevin, what page have you been on?
I just do board games, so I don't even know what we're talking about.
That's what we're here for, those enlightening moments.
I'm waiting for Mandalorian board game.
It's When's that coming? I'm sure it's already in
Fantasy
the works.
Fantasy Flights probably already has it in the works.
Yeah. I was say, I'm looking at you, the op, but you're probably right, only in Europe.
Fantasy Flight, or maybe the op got it has got mm-hmm. some...
Fingers. Somebody's got to be working on it.
Yeah, those are the top two in my book.
Yeah, depending on who's got rights. Yep.
So did you guys know that this Wednesday is episode 7?
Wednesday?
In the past of in the past. Listening audience. Yes.
What?
We did know that.
It is not a Friday release.
Why? I did not know that. Why
I have
that?
No idea.
It's because the Star Wars movie releases
it's on Thursday.
That makes Thursday a lot of sense.
Oh. Yeah. Well, if I was them, I would just do the release of Skywalker and then just push off the Mandalorian for a week.
Well, I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that some awesome spoiler thing is going to be in the episode that will tie into the movie. Yeah, so if you see the episode,
that would be awesome.
Then they'll make reference to it in the movie.
Like
and
a little
like,
baby Yoda ear or something like that.
What if The Rise of Skywalker had baby Yoda in it?
What is this?
I just
this?
Got excited.
Like another 20 years or so after?
And baby Yoda's finally normal adult Yoda Jr.?
We don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know how
I
close
hope it's
they
so
are.
True.
I don't know. Ryan would know. Ryan would know this. Man.
How would he know? He wouldn't know it.
Because it tells... No,
did he secretly watch the Star Wars movie?
He knows how close they are in time-wise.
Oh, like what, he, how old they would like, have to be?
He knows exactly when The Mandalorian takes place, and then he knows when the Rise of Skywalker takes place.
Right. But, obviously it's so the same general timeline. Yoda, baby, the child is probably alive. How old is it is the question.
Well, we know it's at least 50-something.
Right. Is it 70 now, which is like teenage Yoda? I'm all on board for teenage Yoda.
You think it's 70?
Is it
going to
be like teenage Groot,
right,
though?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
Super attitude going on.
With the force. Attitude with the force.
I mean, I think if he had
moment, he dabbles with the dark side.
Baby in 50 years, he's not going to make it to teenager in 70.
I don't know. Groot made it to teenage Groot in like a week.
It's a plant, though.
It's a Yoda. I don't think any of the rules that we're used to apply. I hope if baby Yoda appears in The Rise of Skywalker... I will laugh out loud in the theater, and everyone will hate me.
I will.
Everyone will be cheering.
I will yell out, Will called it.
Yeah, do that. I'll give you bonus points. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to hanging out with you guys in 2020. One of the things that we've got coming up right away is a game day at Firefly in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be January 4th, I believe.
Yep.
Starting at
10
a.m. The Firefly Game Store, Toy Games and Toys, is a pretty slick little board game store. Some of our crew is going to be hanging out there playing games for the day, giving away some prizes, doing some learn to plays, and maybe even giving away some tickets to Tantrum Con. So if you're in that area, we'd love to meet up with you guys and play some board games. It'll be our first weekend of gaming for the entire year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We'll try to bring some new games that maybe you haven't had a chance to try out yet, and we'll look forward to playing with a bunch of people, hopefully, for the entire day. And that'll be a kind of nice warm-up as we roll into the beginning of the year and into our con at the end of the month.
Yeah, if you can't make it to Firefly, then definitely make it to Tantrum Con the end of January.
Mm-hmm. You can learn more at tantrumcon.com, but we'll have 3.5-4-ish days of board gaming going on with all kinds of cool stuff going on.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, we've got some friends coming in from out of town. Derek and Lindsay Funkhauser will be joining us, and a bunch of other local board game media and friends and publishers and designers, and then hopefully just lots and lots of gamers who are looking forward to spending a bunch of time trying some games, playing some stuff, having some fun, coming to some shows, eating some food, and enjoying a great time. If we can make our whole 2020 feel like that, then we'll be doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for joining us yet again. We look forward to catching up with you next time. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast.
If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.